Welcome to Heartline. I'm Rita Schulte, a licensed therapist in the Northern Virginia, D.C. area, and I'm passionate about matters of the heart. I want to check the pulse on your heart by taking a look at some of the cutting-edge issues that are affecting you and the people around you, and have you consider, how in the world is all this mess called life affecting your heart? To help stir things up, we're going to be talking to some of the leading professionals in the Christian counseling and literary industry, as well as hosting discussions with real people who are struggling with real life issues. If you want to know a little bit about me, check me out at siftedaswheat.com, where you can ask questions, find out about my book, listen to other podcasts, or request to be a guest on the show. You can also find me on Facebook at Rita Schulte LPC or follow me on Twitter at Heartline Pod. So let's get going on this journey of the heart. No one knows better what it's like to struggle to praise God when you don't feel like it than Renee Bondi, singer and author of the new book, Still Will I Praise. At age 29, Renee's future was incredibly bright. She was engaged and had a beautiful singing voice, a thriving career as a music teacher, and a loving family. But one night, a bizarre accident left her a quadriplegic. Renee lost not only the use of her arms and legs, but also her singing voice. She could barely speak above a whisper. Through it all, Renee remained hopeful and held tight to her faith. Her unbroken spirit and amazing physical progress baffled the medical field and even those close to her. Renee began to sing again, going on to share the stage with Sandy Patty, Larry King, and Point of Grace. She's released 6 inspirational CDs, and she's here today to encourage us not to give up, but to keep on praising God, even when we don't feel like it. Renee, welcome to Heartline.
Thank you, Rita, for having me.
Can you start us out by telling us about the accident that left you becoming a quadriplegic?
Well, when I was 29 years old, and that's, you can do the math, almost 25 years ago now, life was great. I was engaged to be married. Our wedding was just 2 months away. I was a high school choir director, loved teaching teenagers. Life was bright, and the future was looking good, especially with our wedding coming up. But then one night, in the middle of the night, I woke up standing on the end of my bed, diving headfirst off of my bed onto my head, breaking my neck at cervical vertebrae 4, leaving me quadriplegic and confined permanently to this wheelchair. We have no idea what happened. There's no history of drugs or drinking or any kind of a disease that would cause a seizure. The only thing, Rita, that we can think of is that I must have been having some sort of a dream where I was diving.
Yeah, so I was going to ask you.
I know, which still makes no sense to me because I was no jock before this. And to be doing some Mexico cliff diving thing makes no sense to me. But that's literally the position I was in when I awoke.
Oh my gosh. Did you ever struggle with the whys of this whole thing?
You know, I never struggled with the why me, Lord. I did, though, struggle with why anybody. Why does anybody have to have just random heartbreaking things happen, you know, like the shootings that have been going on lately? Talk about random.
I mean,
just such a heart-wrenching tragedy where suddenly your life is completely changed in an extremely painful way. And I've really struggled with that early on, but boy, after... From where I sit now for, as I said, almost 25 years without the use of my hands and my feet, I really have come to understand that it is only in our suffering, truly, only in our suffering, do we really relate to the cross. That is when we lean in to our Lord Jesus and say, I don't get it, I don't like it, but if you did what you did, then I guess I can do this. And there is much power in that. There's much healing in that. And I don't know if I should say most importantly, but definitely so there's much grace in it all.
Wow, Renee, that's powerful. I mean, a lot of people struggle with that why question. And not only do they struggle with the why question, but they spend years being angry about it. And sometimes that anger ruins their faith.
Right. The anger is what really gets you in trouble. But before I get to that, I wanted to say that people are always looking for this deep philosophical answer to why. And yeah, as I said, over the years, there's times where I've struggled with that. But my conclusion truly, truly is that it goes back to God gave us free will. He did not want us to be puppets. Otherwise, what would our relationship with him be? It would just be a yes sir, no sir. And
yeah, so a lot of our suffering we bring on ourselves, let's face it.
I really believe it. I believe it in deep ways. And it could be in the challenges that we face that we just refuse to really look and take the Ten Commandments seriously. As I was sharing with our teenage son recently, I said, you know, those commandments are absolutely to keep us safe. They're not to keep us from having a great time. They are to protect us from ourselves. They are the chain link fence to keep us from jumping or falling off the cliff. Because when we start coveting everybody else's needs or spouses or coveting things that we shouldn't be, oh my gosh, just takes us down a road that's going to kill ourselves. Of course, thou shalt not murder, all these huge things are things that will get us into such deep, deep trouble. But for whatever reason, we refuse to really look at that and really refuse to accept that. But God gave us a free will to either look at those commandments seriously for our own benefit or to look away. And I think we need to look it straight in the eye.
Mm. Were you ever angry at God?
Yes, and it's funny how it actually came up in a serious way. There were two times in particular. One was just the frustration of having to be so dependent on other people. I have to have a caregiver come every morning, just as she did this morning, to help stretch my body, do my medical care, get me dressed, get me situated in the chair just right. Because what your listeners may not know is that my fingers and my hands don't work at all. My legs do not at all. And so I am 100% dead weight. Mm. So when a caregiver comes in, they have to, my husband is usually up, getting up and showered, and our son is on his way to the bathroom to get going and off to school, which, by the way, a side note that I'm sure your listeners might be wondering right about now, is that, yes, my fiancé stayed with me through it all, and we got married 1 year after I got out of the hospital. This year, we're celebrating 24 years of marriage, mm-hmm. and 6 years into our marriage, I gave birth as a quadriplegic to a beautiful boy, great guy, just like his dad, who's now 17. So kind of need to bring that full circle for
you. Yeah, and you couldn't sing at first.
Correct. The doctor said I would never sing again because if I had broken my neck one vertebrae higher on my neck, vertebrae 1, 2, or 3, I'd be on a ventilator, a breathing machine the rest of my life. But I'd broken cervical vertebrae 4, which means my diaphragm worked, but all the muscles around my diaphragm did not.
Mm.
And so it really made my voice be reduced to the whisper. But after about 4 years, my voice slowly started coming back to where now I've recorded 6 CDs because my voice is in full swing, and it's a lot of music that really helps and comforts other people going through difficult time. But to get back to your question
about the anger,
there was
yeah.
a rabbit trail, huh?
It's okay.
To get back to the question of anger, I was struggling so much one night, just not wanting to deal with attendant care at all. And that is when I was crying, saying, God, I just don't want to do this anymore. I'm over it. I want to blow my own nose. I want to pull my own pants up. I want to drive myself to the grocery store. I just want to pick up a piece of paper and a pen and write a note. And I was crying hard. It was a time where I was exhausted. And in that time, after all my screaming and yelling and beseeching, I got still and quiet, which I feel is when God really engulfs us with his grace. And he put on my mind in Matthew, come to me, all who labor and are heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. Take up my yoke and learn from me, for I am meek and humble of heart, and you will find rest. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now, I had sung that a gazillion times as a hymn in our church, but at that moment I was saying, Lord, your burden is not easy, and your yoke is not light. Are you kidding?
Yeah.
But a visual came into my head. I am a farmer's daughter. My dad was an orange grove, sun-kissed grower here in Southern California, born and raised in the middle of Orange Grove. We also had acreage of hay. And there's old pictures of my grandparents with oxen. And I remember staring at a picture on the wall at my parents' house of a wagon being pulled by this oxen, looking at that yoke around the oxen's withers. And seeing, it was just a visual where I could really see the burden of this huge wagon with pounds and pounds and pounds of heavy hay on this huge wagon, and these two oxen pulling it, but none of the pressure was on their shoulders. None of the pressure was on their withers. And I could see, oh, wow, that yoke makes it so much easier for them. And I remember that picture that night when I was crying, and I remember then saying, God, I want your yoke. Please put it around my neck, put it around my shoulders, and lift this weight. And ever since I keep praying that way, he absolutely honors it.
Oh my gosh, that's so powerful.
Another time that just blew the lid off the top of my head in anger was about 6 years into our marriage. I was 9 months pregnant, big as a barn, just 9 days away from delivering our son. So we got a phone call that my sister Michelle, who I'm very close to, we knew that she'd been on a family vacation with her two boys and her husband riding ATV, all-terrain vehicles, in Arizona. She picked up too much speed, hit a bush, went flying off of the ATV, breaking numerous ribs, puncturing her lungs, and breaking her back.
Oh, my gosh.
Leaving her to now permanently confined to the wheelchair. She's paraplegic, paralyzed from the waist down, para meaning two, so her two legs were paralyzed. I'm quadriplegic, meaning four, all four limbs.
Oh, my gosh, Renee.
And I have to tell you, well, I'll fast forward right now. She's doing fantastic. Her husband has stood next to her tall. Her boys are now both paramedics and firemen, and just wonderful, wonderful family. But I have to tell you, at the time when she was fighting for her life, man,
you were.
I let it rip at God. I was shaking my fist, and I was screaming, I was yelling, I was cussing like a sailor. I was so angry, and I let that anger take over for about 3 months. Here, by this time now, I had delivered our son, and I remember thinking, this poor baby's going to be in therapy at 2 months old because
I'm so angry.
Mom's such a wreck. And
well, what were you believing about God at this point? Do you think, like, God, you're not good. God, how, you know, okay, enough, God, you know, you don't have my...
I wasn't saying, God, you're not good, but I was saying, enough is enough.
Okay.
I was feeling very Job-like there for a while. And I just said, are you kidding me?
Mm-hmm.
It was killing me to see my parents struggling so much with this. And as we were saying, well, the bad news is that we've been through this before, and the good news is we've been through it before, meaning that we learned so much from my injury
mm-hmm.
that we know exactly what she needs. By the time she got out of the hospital, her house was, we had a ramp in it, we had made it all accessible, we had taken her van and fit it for a ramp so she could drive it, and all of those things. So, you know, we knew what to do. But when it came to my relationship with God, I was just angry at the world. I was angry at God. I was angry at the world. I was angry that she had been on a motorcycle.
How'd you turn it around?
Well, there was one day in particular. It was a Saturday morning. Mike and I had to be out of the house. I don't remember where we were going, but I was screaming and I was yelling. I was barking orders because we were late. As if he had no reason to be late. He's got a quadriplegic wife and a newborn baby. And I am barking orders, which is not me. If you knew me before all this, I was pretty good natured. I laughed my way through everything. But at this point, it went crazy. And Mike stopped when he heard me barking at him to hurry up. He stopped and he looked at me. And I looked back with this really nasty look in my eyes. And then I stopped and took a breath, looking further into his eyes. And I could see his eyes asking, where did my wife go?
Mm.
It's okay if her body doesn't work, but it's not okay if her mind and her attitude isn't right. And that's when, without saying a word, he did not say a word. It was just a look in his eye that it stopped me dead in my tracks. And I said, oh, got it.
Wow.
I got it. And right then, in the hallway of my house, I started crying and saying, Lord, I surrender this anger. I surrender this anger. I ask you to take this anger and replace it with your peace. I knew your peace at one time. I don't know it now. I surrender it. I surrender it. I surrender it. And Rita, I kept babbling a simple prayer just like that of surrender over and over again, several times a day for several months. Every time I felt this of anger creeping up, I'd say, Lord, I give you my anger. I surrender it. I lay it at your feet. And then sure enough, about 3 months later, I was out having lunch with a girlfriend of mine. We were in the middle of the restaurant. She said something. I started busting up, howling, laughing in the middle of this restaurant. Big old laughter, tears coming down. And right in the middle of it, I stopped and thought, oh, you did it. You replaced my anger with your peace.
Yeah.
And I felt this huge burden coming off my shoulder, and I was rejoicing that the healing of my anger had taken place. But it definitely took somebody pushing up against me. You know, my husband kind of, with that look, kind of putting his hand up saying, wait a minute, you're crossing a line. And that's when I said, God, I surrender. And, he really took care of it.
You know, I think what you're talking about is you moved from a place of anger or, you know, whatever people are dealing with, you know, with them in a trial, bitterness, to acceptance. So that surrender was moving to a place of surrender, to acceptance. We usually are fighting the wrong battle. You know, when we're asking the why questions, when we're, you know, focusing all of that, the place to be is to move to a place of acceptance. And that doesn't happen overnight for any of us. You know, it's a process. But I think a big part of facing any trial in our lives is to get us to surrender our wills and to move to that place of acceptance. Because basically we have a choice. We can be bitter or we can praise.
Personal choice,
yes,
to do exactly that. And that's why I wrote Still I Will Praise, The Power of Praising God, Even When You Don't Feel Like It. How that all came about was, again, through frustration and a level of anger. One day, it was a couple years ago, I found myself in a place I just did not want to be. I had accepted the wheelchair. I had been in a good place. I was now married and had a beautiful boy. I was back to singing and speaking around the country again. Life was good. My husband had a great full-time job, and our marriage was good. But when the economy turned south on us, two of my favorite caregivers had to leave. I have to have a part-time caregiver every morning. And both of them had to go back to find full-time work, which meant I had hired not only one, but two new caregivers, and I had to train them. And for somebody whose hands and feet don't work and everything has to be verbal, I just was not in a good place to be able to describe all the details of training again. Everything from how, when they walk in the door, how to roll me back on my back if I'm on my side in bed without twisting a part of my body that can't be twisted, to my medical, specifics of my medical care, to how to transfer me up into the wheelchair, just how to get me adjusted correctly so I'm seated right and looking correctly, and how to blow dry my hair so I feel like I look pretty, and how we cook things in our house and all of that. I just didn't want to do it. And I went to the Lord in prayer. I had a little spot, actually, in my family room, a little corner, where I just go when I just want to be alone and everybody's gone. And I was praying, saying, God, I need some new tools, Lord. I know every day for the next 3 months, I am going to be describing these things. And I'm not going to get a break in any way of ease, of getting up in the morning. Lord, I need some new tools. Will you please help me? Because I know I don't have any more patience. I've used the reserve of the reserve, yet I still must be gracious and kind during these morning hours when all I want to do is do it myself. Then again, I got quiet, let him engulf me, put his arms around me, and what came to my mind was, I've always wanted to be one of those people that praises you, Lord, no matter what, no matter when, even when I don't feel like it. So, the next morning, when this gal, Annie, came in, she was one of the two caregivers that I had to train. When she came in and I heard that hand on the doorknob of my bedroom, I started praying on the inside, Lord, I praise you for this comfortable pillowcase. Lord, I thank you for this comfortable sheets. Lord, thank you that I can breathe. Lord, I praise you that I can see Annie. Lord, I praise you for her beautiful smile. I praise you, Lord, for her beautiful green eyes. Lord, I praise you that she even wants this job. Lord, I praise you that I have a house with a roof on it. Lord, I praise you for the warmth in this house. Lord, I thank you. And I kept praising him and thanking him during this whole morning routine. She had no idea at all. And I kept this spiritual discipline going on every morning for the next 3 months. And one day, Mike, my husband, said, man, you said that was going to be really, really hard for you to train two caregivers. You just blew through that training. I didn't hear you complain once.
And that's because you chose to set your mind on the things that were good, the things that were noble, the things that were pure.
Amen. Whatever's true, noble,
yes.
Right. Whatever's pure, lovely, admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, Paul says, think about such things. Philippians 4:8.
Yeah. So it does. It goes back to this whole idea about choice. And so
it really does.
Yeah. And so, you know, the stories that you tell in the book, a lot of those stories are people who have faced incredible suffering and that they've gone on to praise God and even deepen their faith. And there are people who are listening right now who may be saying, I could never be like that. I would never be able to do that. What would you tell them?
I would say start literally just out of a posture of obedience. That's it. Like I did. I was not feeling the love. I was not wanting it. I wasn't even perhaps real honest at the first couple times I was praising him during that time. But I did it strictly trying to get a new spiritual discipline in my heart and my mind.
Mm.
And so I would literally say this today, if somebody's listening that says, there is no way in China I can do that, I invite you strictly out of obedience to start doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Because what it does is two things it does. Number one, it instantly puts God where he is supposed to be on the throne and us where we belong in submission. And in this culture, submission sometimes has a negative connotation. It does not in this case. What happens when we instantly start praising God, it puts him in our minds on the throne, reminding us in our deepest, darkest time that he has been faithful throughout the ages. And if he's been faithful throughout the ages, he will be faithful to us.
Mm.
We just need to give it time. And that shift, that mental shift, changes the focus of our mind, which changes our heart, which ultimately changes our attitude towards the cross we're facing.
Wow. Renee, how can folks get a hold of this book?
Well, we always say, please, please support your local Christian bookstores. Go in there and say, do you have Renee Bondi's Still I Will Praise, The Power of Praising God Even When You Don't Feel Like It? And they can order it if it's not on the shelf. Also through our website, it's simply reneebondi.com. That's R-E-N-E-E, B as in boy, O-N-D-I.com.
Renee, what a powerful story. You're awesome. God bless you with everything you're doing, what you're singing, everything. It's just, it's been a real privilege to have you on the show. Thank you for taking your time to do this.
Thank you, Rita, so much. Our Lord is faithful. He is awesome. But it is our choice to get on our knees in front of him. That has been a tough lesson for me to learn, but a lesson I hold on to daily.
Well, it's evident. It's evident.
So God bless you, Rita, in your ministry, and we hope to see you again.
Okay, Renee, thank you so much. God bless. Bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye.
Thanks for joining me today. If you have a question or comment, or you'd like to be a guest on Heartline, I'd love to hear from you. You can contact me at siftedaswheat.com, on Facebook at Rita Schulte LPC, or Twitter at Heartline Pod. And remember, it's your heart. Keep it alive. Check the pulse.